The Social Geeks, episode number 41, On the Right Path. This episode is brought to you by Headway. Headway is the best drag and drop UI interface you can get for your WordPress installations. Visit bit.ly/IDOHeadway. Welcome, everybody, to the Social Geeks, episode number 41, a departure from the last two episodes. This time, it's the guys at the round table. So Caleb's the man on the street right now. I'll let him get to a quiet place, but Caleb Elston is on. He is somewhere walking the streets of San Francisco, I believe. Robert's back. How are you, sir, Mr. Murray?
Wonderful. How are you?
We are great. We've missed you the last few, and happy holidays and such. And then Wayne Sutton, the man, the legend, the TV star.
Hello, world.
Always hello, world. Wayne is a TV star now. If you haven't seen it, get online. Is it? Can you stream it, Wayne? The Black in America stuff from all your CNN, or what's the deal with that?
No, but it's in iTunes. So I have to say it's in iTunes for $1.99. I get no commission, no kickback. That's all CNN to their pockets. But if you want to see it, it's in iTunes.
Okay. Well, I was about to ask if you got a kickback because we'd buy an episode. So that's all right. $1.99 CNN. If you can get it on a torrent somewhere, go. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. It's a great special. So we're going to jump in this week. We've got a lot of stuff happened since we last recorded, amazingly. Some big stuff. I want to start, and Robert came up with a great list before we got going, but I kind of want to start with the Facebook Go Wallet. It seems to be the hot topic. So, but Robert, I'll let you kick off because that's, you know, it was your list, man.
Yeah, I think the Facebook Gowalla acquisition is pretty interesting. I've been trying to kind of tap my sources to figure out exactly what went down from this end on in Austin. Of course, Gowalla is based here in Austin.
Yep.
From what I understand, you know, obviously Facebook already has a check-in system. So it's certainly not about the check-ins. There may be some IP that Facebook may want from Gowalla, but my inkling is to think that Facebook lacks a development team, a mobile development team, and that would be the primary reason to acquire Gowalla.
Do you think it's from the trip stuff that they had going on, or what do you think that's from right there?
I don't know. Like, you know, I think the trip stuff is interesting and should be of interest to Facebook, because that's something that Facebook doesn't have. Mm-hmm. And of course, we are, you know, I know most of my friends are hopping around constantly on planes. So, you know, there's definitely a component there that Facebook wants to tap into to kind of, you know, capture daily life, as it may be, for a lot of people. But I really feel that with this one, Facebook has had a hard time retaining mobile development staff. We know their lead iOS developer left just because they, you know, a couple months ago, because they didn't launch the iPad version. Then they did launch the iPad version in an updated iOS version, iPhone version. So I think the mobile team at Gowalla is incredibly strong. So I think that really has a lot to do with it.
Well, let's start with the easy stuff. Do you think that anyone actually uses in mass quantity places as well as they do things like Foursquare to check in with Facebook? Do you use it?
I use it once in a while, but rarely.
Okay.
And for me, the reasoning behind that is I don't think it's important for everybody on Facebook to know where I am. You know, Foursquare really does satisfy that need because it's people that are in my immediate vicinity.
What are you saying? Facebook is different, not in your immediate vicinity, though? They would be even more, not vicinity, let's say, but your immediate knowledge circle, right? The people that know you the best is Facebook usually.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily restricted to the people in your geographic area.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't want my mother in Florida to know that I'm checking in at a supermarket.
Okay, possibly. Wayne, are you using either one of them anymore?
No.
Good.
Yeah, I stopped using Gowalla a long time ago. I mean, you know, I mean, I just be real. I mean, just, you know, I had my own location thing going on, did a lot of traveling, and the whole, you know, after Gowalla UI changed to be more of a trips discovery app, uh-huh. That was it for me. I was like, I wasn't planning those type of trips or going on those type of, you know, routines or location discovery like they were planning to be when they quote unquote pivoted and did some stuff we was doing also with trial at the time. And so stopped using Goa a long time ago. I probably less than 100 times used Facebook to check in actual places compared to my over 2,000 plus times checking on Foursquare. So Facebook never was that need for me to check in. Sure. And Gowalla, you know, they killed themselves but changing. And then Foursquare, let's face it, Foursquare, if you want to do the racist location, go back 3 years ago in South By, you know, Foursquare won if you want to go that route. To me, the whole acquisition, and I think Robert nailed it on this point, in terms of the talent and the mobile team. If you look at you look at where things are going with mobile apps, and I can't wait to hear Caleb's thoughts on this, is that mobile app is all about usability and user experience. Facebook was the leader in terms of the you know, having a great app that connects everybody to Facebook and does all these amazing things. But now we've seen tons of niche apps that looks amazingly great, do niche simple things, millions of users, and I ain't gonna say it's taken away from Facebook being, you know, millions of users, but it does, you know, in terms of keeping up with where things are going and being the leader, you know, that talent, that usability team that Josh has at Goala, which they built because they start off with mobile, is the experience they have is I can say priceless, but it's worth a whole lot. And so with the acquisition, I think it's a great hire for Facebook in terms of getting the experience, the UI, the design, what made Goala great was that it looked great. I mean, when was the last time we said that Facebook app looks great? And so things in terms of mobile and things, what they want to do, it's a great hire on that aspect. And then I was thinking that some more of the design team that Goala hired would be going to Facebook. I saw that one guy, I think Tim, he went to Instagram. And then you see what other app, you know, you get people moving around in the Bay going from Path to Google and so forth, and Google to Path. And so I think Facebook is beefing up their mobile team for, you know, just 2012, which is where we say that everything is going mobile. Well, in my mind, everything is mobile, and your app and usability, user experience has to be tight. And I think that's what Facebook is battling in competitiveness of what everybody else is doing in the market.
All right, Caleb, are you quiet yet?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, first of all, you got to answer the mandatory question. Are you using either Places or Goala at this point?
No and no.
Okay. So we're 4 for 4. I stopped using Goala probably a year ago. So what about the acquisition itself?
I think it's very good for both Facebook and Goala. It's clear that Goala has, as Wayne said, very talented team of designers and a team that is very concerned with quality and user experience. Starting with their Alamo Fire design team, moving to Facebook Games. I mean, people don't necessarily remember, but they were one of the first people to build one of the really addictive Facebook games, Pack Rat, which was a sort of the card trading game. And then they built Goala, where the main mechanic in the beginning, aside from different than Foursquare's sort of leveling up and point system, was collecting these badges, these stamps. And they were all over the place. And every time you check in somewhere, you get this really beautiful crafted stamp, digital stamp, that then you would trade with other people or drop and leave it. So they've always had this very strong focus on design. And, you know, as it just wasn't working out that well for them in terms of the users. And they've tried different things, and that's, you know, that happens. Really great team. So I think it's great for everyone that now they're part of Facebook and can help them. It seems like it's a good thing. But it certainly isn't for the Goala product. I don't think there's anything in there in terms of check-ins or anything beyond these people, this team, focusing on helping people get more value out of some of the experiences they do every day, like checking in and going places. So I would expect that you would see some of this team working on the timeline product and the mobile product considering their recent sort of love for this idea of storytelling and charting what's happened in your travels, but you could expand that out to what's happened in your entire life.
Right. And that's the one thing I think that they not only bought for the mobile interface, which they really need to work on if they wanted to make places succeed and have people use it. But I think the trip part, integrating that with the new timeline feature is significant for them. I really think that it's a move that they saw could establish not just pictures of the event, but where you were for the event that they were missing from places. Their places check-in pretty much sucked. I did a quick survey in one of these big Skype groups that I'm in, and I said, does anyone in here, you know, quickly, we're recording live, using Gowalla or Facebook Places? And so far I've gotten 4 thumbs down and no's and nevers and never inside of it. So they definitely didn't buy a user base. Most everybody on Gowalla probably was on Facebook already, but I think they really like the idea of the mobile interface, but with the trip theory behind it to match the timeline, like you brought up. And they didn't get the whole team, if I'm correct, right, guys? They actually, a couple of them left, like you said, but they only bought a couple people, but mainly, what, the IP is what they bought from the whole thing?
Well, no. Josh, and I think the other co-founder are going to Palo Alto. The team, that's the Gowalla team, some of those who stayed on board, we worked out of the Facebook office in Austin. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones who wanted to leave, I think, or either were early enough in were late hires or left to go to other places.
Okay. So you know, that's just a few people, though. Go ahead, KK.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of insight. In a lot of these acquisitions that are, sort of below $20 million or so, the team... Facebook will interview the team, and then they will decide who they want the team, and then the team has to choose, each person on the team has to choose whether or not they want to go and work for Facebook or the acquiring company in whichever case. And so they have a choice, because normally what happens is their company stock, Gowalla stock, will convert into some amount of Facebook stock. Mm-hmm. And some of them would just choose not to do that for whatever reason. And so it's more likely a choice of the individual team members whether or not they want to go and commit to working at Facebook for 2 to 3, 4 years. So Facebook wants to hire really talented people and would love to have as many of those people as possible. So I don't think there's really much going on there beyond just personal choices and what people want to do.
Well, did you notice? I want you guys to notice the word Caleb used. Yeah, it's below $20 million. Just throw out a figure. No big deal. $20 million. All of us would go, really, $20 million? Yeah, I think we can work with that.
I definitely can.
All of a sudden, we're Albert Pujols of social networking and location services, right? You're paying me that kind of money. All of a sudden, we're sports fiends. I want to ask a question before we pick up on where Robert had a list. So, I don't know. I think it was Wayne, you said it. It brought it to my mind. I made a note real quick. Do you guys think that the niche, these little bitty niche apps, are like a ripe acquisition target right now for a lot of the companies that are trying to envelop as many mega services as they can, like Facebook buying someone like Gowalla? Do you guys think these little tinier ones are niche? I mean, even Caleb, and I know if it was under, you couldn't say, but even like Yobongo, someone saying we'd really like to include this instant, bubble of presence and messaging type feature into our product. Do you guys think that's a market right now?
I think so. I mean, it's a market for the right companies with the right money, to like a Google, a Facebook, even a Twitter. Companies like those who can hire acquire these other startups. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the opportunity for these other startups to grow and get traction, I think it's most definitely the right time, because we see what happened what's happened with Path. And just today, Evernote launched 2 new apps in terms of a food and a contact, exchange hello app. I think it's really up to the founders to say, of course, money talks. So I'm not mad at Gowalla and Josh from the situation for taking the money. I don't think it was all just about money. It was a lot of things in the play.
Sure.
But in terms of the startup, the entrepreneur, the company, if they launch a great service, a great app, and get millions of users, and it's not really putting a dent into Facebook, it's not putting a dent into Twitter or Google, but I think it's the right time if they launch, gain these millions of users, and you never know what can happen.
Makes sense. What about you, Caleb?
So I'll speak in general terms. The right. The idea is there's sort of two states. There's a state before your company has raised $10, $15, $20 million and has lots and lots of users or some revenue. And then there's the state sort of where you're really, really tiny. And when you're really, really tiny, you have the opportunity to show off what your team and your point of view is on how things should be built in the world. And if you build the product that sort of resonates with people and they understand it and they think it makes sense, then certain larger companies will gravitate if they think their values are aligned with yours and vice versa. So Gowalla is a great fit for Facebook. Facebook wants more designers. They want people who care about building social experiences for people. You know, Gowalla was not a hardcore technology company. It was a design-centric company. It was on mobile, you know, mobile devices. So it's a good fit for them. It wouldn't probably have been as great a fit for someone like Twitter, right? So you sort of take a look, and these companies are not buying it for the users. They're not necessarily buying it for the product. They're buying it for the people and their ideas, and hope that they can lead teams inside of these bigger companies to be successful. And so it's just it's a sort of these just two states in companies, really, if you really boil it down. And they hadn't raised too much money. They actually had raised $8 million. So they actually raised a fair amount. But yeah, I think you're right, Chris. I think that these companies, these small app companies and you know, just young startups are always good candidates to be acquired and folded into larger companies. And what's unique about right now is almost every large internet company is trying to hire. And so there's a lot of talent locked up in these startups, really, really good people, and they want access to them, and they can sometimes get access by paying millions of dollars for them.
I would just like to publicly say that if anyone wants to buy the Social Geeks for $10 million, we're available.
Yes, I'm completely available for that. Yes, I agree.
At this point, all of us would say, you know, we'll split it up fine and we'll make it happen. So if you really like to buy us for $10 billion, we can work with that right there. So Robert, you want to lead us, lead us down the path?
Path. Nice one. I think the Path 2.0 is remarkable. As soon as I got wind of it, I started checking it out. And I've been a Path user, a fairly heavy Path user, since I found it last year. Let's talk from a developer's perspective for a second here.
And I'm gonna bring it up while you do that, because I've got it. I just installed it, and I'm gonna bring it up again and see if it makes any sense. Okay, go for it. I'm looking at it now live.
From a developer standpoint, you know, somebody who I work on apps all day long, every day. This thing is remarkable. There are little nuggets in here that I look at, and I am just in awe by the intense focus it had to take to do some of the detail work in here. Like, it's a beautiful piece of engineering.
Well, back up and all of us probably know, but back up. We still have some listeners that have no freaking clue. Path started as a very limited app, correct? That only had 50?
Yep. You could only have 50 friends, so it maxed out at 50 friends. So the whole idea was you share more intimate experiences with a smaller group of people.
And this would be your closest friends and family that also were heavily involved in loading up apps on their phone or devices. Because it's only iOS right now, too, correct?
No, it's Android as well.
Android, too, now. Yeah. How many users can you have now?
The Android version came out a few months ago. I was beta testing that on Android.
Okay. What about how many users can you have now in your group? It's not 50 anymore either.
No, they've definitely raised that bar. I'm actually not sure how many users.
Is it 150 or is it?
I think it's 150.
150. All right. So we got 150. And then the goal is, and I fired this up, and you have to create a profile first and you have to start a path. But to, like you said, share these intimate moments. I'm on the very first screen. I took a picture of myself. The timeline's there. What the heck do I do with this thing?
Well, you share your everyday experiences. I think what they pulled off in this version, and it's dramatically different from the last version, they've added a number of features. The One is to be able to document what you're listening to. So kind of like a Spotify type thing.
How do you do it? I know we're not talking through a how-to per se, but I'm on the main screen, and all I see right now of myself is, let me look. I see a picture of myself. It says path at the top. And right. I have a little thing that says I joined in a timeline, but there's no other way, no other buttons, no actions, no nothing.
Well, if you look to the bottom left corner, there's a little plus sign and a red button.
Let me look. Well, unless I screwed something up, so there's no little plus sign and red button on here. And this is the new version. There's nothing. It's just this little timeline is all I have, man.
Oh, okay. So he's looking at his path. He's at his path. So you need to go to the top mm-hmm. left. There's a 3-dash little button.
Sure there is. Okay.
Tap that. And then go to the the top, yeah, home.
Yeah, I was trying that. No work. Okay, good. So that doesn't work. All right, perfect. I was just curious because at the point now, if I loaded this up and I was a new user, and you guys know how we do reviews and site reviews and stuff, I would be totally frustrated and not understand what the heck this app did.
Chris, what you using? iPhone or iPod?
I'm using a Touch. I mean, Touch, same thing. And I see path at the top, and I see my picture, and I see a timeline, I see the numbers, I see a little smiley on the right, all that, you know, join path, but
and
no other, huh?
In bottom left, you don't see the awesome plus sign?
No, like, man, there's nothing here. I'm looking at this thing, and I've scrolled, I've done everything, there's nothing here.
Oh, man. Okay, well, you're missing, like, the one of the most exciting part of the app, so I'm not sure if there's a Touch, or either you might need to reinstall, or you can try it on your Android device.
That's what I'm going
to
do. I'm going to jump over the Android while we're talking, but I just want to let you guys know, so if I was doing this on a Touch, it has a camera, it has the Wi-Fi, you know, it's doing stuff, but there's nowhere to go once you join Path. I can't find any way to do anything with this app, and I even turned it sideways. I've done all sorts of stuff. So.
Yeah.
All right, keep going. I was just giving you trouble, so keep going, guys. So tell them what it's supposed to do then. You said music. Robert, what else?
Yeah, so you have the music. You have this interesting wake-sleep thing. So when you're going to sleep, you touch it, and you say, "I'm going to sleep." And then when you wake up, it goes into this whole other screen, which has a clock on it. It's really interesting. I've never seen anything like that for an app. And when you wake up, you hit it again, and it says, "Oh, you know, it has all these little anecdotes." Like last night, for instance, I only slept 3.5 hours. So it had a little anecdote for that I should be sleeping a little more, which is probably true.
Right.
But you can take photos. They lengthen the amount of time for the videos, because it used to only be 10 seconds, and now it seems to be like a minute or something. And you can check in with people. So you can say you're in a place with someone, or check into a place. It syncs up with Facebook, Tumblr,
okay,
Twitter, and Foursquare for a lot of these activities. So, you know, it's pretty interesting. I feel that, you know, it to me, just after using it for almost a week now, it's going to be one of my go-to apps now, because I can do, you know, in some cases it will replace Foursquare for me for the check-ins, because I can have it here and have it there as well. I've been using a lot for check-ins.
All right.
And I definitely will use it to share. The only thing I wish it had was integration to Instagram, because that would kind of like solve my whole world.
And what about you, Wayne? Are you using this thing?
Oh, yes. I'm like Robert. I've been using Path since they launched about a year. But I wouldn't say I'm as active as he's been. I really probably say last 6 months haven't used Path that much. But when version 2 came out, immediately started using it on a daily basis because of the UI. And Robert knows some of our conversations we've had in Path and Instagram unlike... Well, Path original, when it came out, we said we're the photo sharing app for your closest friends, or we're a sharing app for your 50 closest friends. And so to me, that still resonates with me. And so, and I'm one of the guys, who would say, well, I'm not one of the guys who say we don't need another app or don't need another social network, because different niche communities have their purpose. But for my purpose of using Path, I don't want to manage another friends list, another conversation, another, you know, community, which could happen with my 150 closest friends. So I decided to use it with my closest people in my life, which is my son and my wife and my family. So I've just used PATH as more of a, which, you know, the interview with that Dave Moran and other founders that had with Scoble, they mentioned using PATH as a journal, as a life journal. And so that's how I'm using it, more as a life journal, to post status, you know, for what I'm doing with Micah. And then, what, you know, when Micah gets older, he can go back and PATH's still around, see all the stuff that he's done in terms of, you know, him going to sleep, because it has that feature, him waking up. And the wife can actually see that, you know, his, you know when he wakes, when he sleeps, and I can see it vice versa. And so I'm using PATH more as a journal. And then also the shouting board to just say stuff that, or randomly say stuff or make documentations that I want to make in my life. So it's a it's a digital journal for me, on my path, so to speak, how I'm using it. But the usability, going back to what we mentioned earlier, I think I saw that PATH has increased 250,000 new users since it came out with version 2.0. And it's all about the usability, the user experience, and the way they allow people to make it easy and fun to add content to their PATH, from where it be music to post a status to say I'm at a location and post content, and then don't forget the emoticons from smiling. I mean, those simple little features make the difference in terms of how a user interacts with the mobile app to make it fun and valuable to where you want to tell all your friends, hey, come join me on PATH.
So let me ask this. You said, is it replacing, like Robert said, some of the stuff that you already use?
No, it's not replacing anything with me, because the way I decided to use it as a journal, as a private journal with my family. So now it is an additional app that I'm using on a daily basis, but it's not replacing a Foursquare. It's not replacing the Instagram. It's not replacing, you know, my other any update, you know, mobile chat location-based update app. But it could, because it has the filters like an Instagram. It has the filters of video filters and post video like a social cam, where you could use it as a video app and as a check-in app and as a photo. Photo share app. So it could replace three apps if I wanted to.
Do you think that the addition of the amount of people you can have on here added to the number of users that they were able to add so fast? Members, you know, however you want to call it.
Repeat the question. I think the addition
of going from 50 to 150 really made a difference, not only just the 2.0 version. You don't think that changed it?
No, it could have. I'm not the best person to ask on that, because I didn't go out to try to get 50 closest, and I'm not going to try to get 150, you know, closest friends. It could have, but I really think, it played a small role into going from 50 to 150. I think the creativity and the user experience behind the app is what made it go increase the numbers to 250.
All right. And I'm going to say, I installed this on Android, and immediately I saw the plus, I saw the feature set. It worked faster and better on Android than it did on the iPod Touch. And this is a brand new iPod Touch. So whatever I did wrong, if I did it wrong, I apologize. If they have problems, I don't apologize. What about you, Caleb? Have you been using this thing?
Yeah, I've been a early PATH user since the beginning, and Dave Morin, their CEO, is actually one of our investors at Yobongo, so you can take, you know, disclosure there. So I've been able to talk with him about this for a long time, and I agree with everything Wayne said and Robert said, so I'll just provide just maybe a different take that they, you know, PATH got a lot of sort of stones thrown at it 6 months, a year ago, when people wanted to compare PATH to Instagram. And because they focused on, well, this is an app where people have photos and they have filters. And PATH and the team continually tried to reorient people to say, no, this is about sharing moments that are important to you in your life with people who matter to you. And yet people are like, well, I want to use Instagram for my photo filters, not PATH. And I think what 2.0 shows is the much more full vision of where the team wants to take PATH as this journal for the important things that happen in your life that may happen in lots of other sites and be focused on lots of other places, But Path isn't about the particular features that are happening. It's about the people who you're sharing with. And so one of the really interesting features in Path that, that helps reinforce this feeling is that on most services, when someone looks at your photo or looks at your video, you have no idea. You just sort of have to ask them, hey, did you see that photo I posted to Facebook or whatnot? In Path, they actually show you the photos, the little faces of the people who you've shared with who have actually looked at your content. So if I share a photo or location, I could see that Wayne saw that photo or Robert saw that photo.
Gotcha.
And that really makes it me feel connected to them and that they know what's going on in my life. And so you do need to be careful about who you share with, but it just lends a lot more intimacy to what's happening. And I think what 2.0 does is allows people to get more fully in the routine of using Path, where before with just photos, there weren't that many photos in my life that were purely intimate that I wanted to share only with 50 close friends. Just that gap was really hard to understand. But now with status updates and when you go to sleep and when where you are, that actually does start to make a little bit more sense that these people are the people you really do care about sharing with. And you just start getting in the routine. So I've been using it a lot more, and I've seen, you know, more stuff from Robert and Wayne as well. And so it's just cool.
Which one do I share with you, though, Caleb? You got three accounts, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. They've been trying to consolidate. I actually had 8 accounts, and they got a bunch of them down. So, but yeah. Do the one where I'm drinking from a cup.
Okay, they're done. Robert's wearing a cool hat.
Yeah, that's my New York trip there.
Got your New York trip. So this, okay, so I'll need to play with the settings and, you know, all that other fun stuff in here. But I will say right out of the box, one of the reasons I hesitated is because I didn't have always access with the iPod Touch because I carry an Android most of the time. You know, so I didn't have that capability. Now that I have, and I like the way it works so far on the Android, you know, I've already fired up all the social geeks and I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? You know, you guys are the people that I hang out and talk to the most anyway about this stuff. And this is perfect because we get to see it all. So, all right. So, well, Path is out there, everybody. It's free. It's in the App Store. It is in the Marketplace. It is everywhere you would possibly want it to be. Did I miss anywhere?
Not Windows Mobile yet, I don't think. But I think it's on the way.
It's not on BlackBerry.
Yeah. No comment on BlackBerry.
We can talk about BlackBerry. If you want to talk about BlackBerry, we can talk about some BlackBerry.
Where's the graveyard?
We can talk about BlackBerry. I'm gonna tell everybody right now that listens to this show. We do a BlackBerry Today show, and as much as you guys think BlackBerry's dead, that thing is broken. It's had over 300,000 downloads. The consumers still use the heck out of their devices. You know what I mean? They're having some enterprise trouble and everything, but in Europe and everywhere, they use those devices. And it's the most common thing. When you get a BlackBerry plan over in the UK, you get 200 minutes to call the US for free included. I mean, they build a plan around the device itself. So it's kind of funny the way that works. All right. I'll learn all these buttons later about Path. But before we jump on, Wayne, thank you. Visited my Path. Now all of us are looking at our phones now. Stop doing that.
Ignore.
All right. Before we jump on, just as before, we want to say hello to our sponsors. Everybody know that's out there. We went with something a little more social the past couple episodes. It seems to be working for everybody. It's slow. It's trickling in. But if you use WordPress and you're out there looking for good themes, it's not a custom theme. It's a theme design template that's a drag and drop interface, and it's called Headway. I said interface. It's called Headway. Headway themes. I've been using them since 2.0. They're now in the 3.0 version range. But if you ever wanted to manipulate the way your site looks on WordPress, it's the way to go. You simply put it on. You go to their visual editor. If you want a column to be bigger, you just drag it across. If you want to change the font on the whole site or just a part, you click on it and you change it to where you want it to be. So it's actually reusable, what they call leafs, which you can consider widgets or whatever you want to call them that are reusable. You can change home pages to look different than side pages. But the beauty of it is you don't have to know design skills. It does all the work for you behind the scenes. So we welcome Headway, talked to them a while ago and put them on board, I think, the last 2 episodes. So hopefully everyone goes and visits. The code is, it's a bit.ly code. So if you just go to bit.ly/IDoHeadway, it takes you right through the social geeks, right to their site, and you're off and running. You guys probably don't use it. Any of you use WordPress, though?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe yeah. Get you guys a copy of Headway just so you can see it. It's amazing. I use it now for a couple different sites, and I'm no good at hard code development like Robert over there. So me being able to go in and it overlays a nice, you know, visual UI over your site. You drag and drop what you want, and off you go. It's made life so easy. So that's Headway Themes. All right. Onward we go. What was next on the list, Robert? Because I'm not looking at it here in front of me. I was looking at Path.
We can go Flipboard or we can go Wim.
Let's go Flipboard.
Yes. I think we should start with Caleb and his thumbs on this one.
Okay, let's do it, Caleb. Let's see how much pain you're in over there.
Yeah, so I sent out Flipboard, which is a news reading app that's been for the iPad for the past year or so, has gotten a lot of acclaim. Apple loves it. They feature it a lot. And it has a very cool mechanic where it sort of splits the pages as you flip through on your iPad. And you can browse by sections like business and technology. And they do some cool tech to try and pull in good stories. You can also sync it with Facebook and Twitter and browse those updates in the same interface. And what happened recently, yesterday, they actually brought Flipboard to the iPhone. So taking this sort of big display version of the app and making a mini version. And one of the little quips I have with it is that the iPad version, you swipe from right to left. And on the iPhone, you're flipping from down, from the bottom up. And so you have to move your thumb a lot and in a motion that you don't really do on your iPhone and your mobile device. So I just found that my thumb was actually getting a little tired. And so I like Flipboard. I use it a lot. I'm happy that it's now on the iPhone. But I'm just not so convinced that upward flip is necessarily so awesome. But that's a minor thing.
What about you guys using it now that you've done the upgrades? Anybody digging into it?
Well, I used it a lot with my iPad and when it first came out, and probably maybe for about 6 months. And then I kind of go back and forth periodically. I'll use it when I'm using my iPad. But I don't carry my iPad around a lot. So, you know, this iPhone version will probably guarantee that I use it a lot more. It is one of those apps that I enjoy using on the iPad. So I don't see any reason why I'm not going to use it equally as much on the phone.
Gotcha. What about you, Wayne?
Yeah, I saw the notification about it yesterday and immediately downloaded it. They had some server trouble because there were so many downloads, and had some trouble today because so many people is using it. So I hadn't signed in yet, but so I don't have the thumb soreness like Caleb. Kind of reminds me of LinkedIn, where they came out with a new app. They came out with the, you know, swipe down. So Flipboard is doing the flip up with their app. So but I think it's great that we see these, especially going into the new year, that we see these new mobile applications continue to, we're talking about, what's the word, innovation a lot in terms of the lack thereof, or and Scoble came out a great post, you know, wow him, if you come on a new app. It's great to see developers try to be innovative with releasing, you know, new versions of the app or just a new mobile version of the bigger app. So I think Flipboard for the iPhone is going to be a hit.
Okay, well, I've been running it for a while now on the iPad, playing around with it. I haven't used it on the iPod Touch, you know, mobily, playing around with it as much there. I've liked what it did before, but I never really... I segregate my services pretty much. I go to a service for a particular reason, then I jump on. If it does do two things, food spotting, for example, is a strange one, I know, but if I like a particular food, I know, oh, you know what, I can take a picture and check in and use Foursquare from one and be done with that. But most of the other ones, I segregate. So I don't go in there to Flipboard to read Twitter feeds, even though it looks prettier. I do better just reading the darn feeds. You know, same thing with Facebook. I stay inside of Facebook if I ever want to go in there, which I hardly do. But that's pretty much the way I work with those. So it'll be interesting to see the adaptation and if people really start manipulating and moving. Can't you move more feeds into Flipboard now, too? Like bring in your own stuff more than you could before? Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Right. So I'm curious, are you guys doing that then? Are you bringing in more content to it, or is it still just a tool for the pre-built?
I think for me, it's just for the pre-built stuff.
Yeah, so I figured.
you know, I can get to the other content that I want fairly easily, and since I'm on the computer most of the day, then kind of fits into my overall world. This is kind of when I'm away from the computer, and I'm not consuming as much, you know, work-related serious stuff. This is more casual reading stuff for me.
What's the site for the new one? So I get this linked in for everybody so they can find it really quick. The new Whim that you were talking about.
Oh, is it GetWhim?
That's what I'm looking at. Is it GetWhim? I know what the product is, but I can't find the darn thing anywhere as a URL.
GetWhim.com.
GetWhim.com. All right, so run us through this one since you've been the source tonight, man.
Okay, I think this one is really interesting because if you look at, and Wayne will testify to this, Wayne and I met from face-to-face from him checking in on Foursquare. And I believe, and we had this whole long conversation about serendipity, and I believe this is a solution that people are trying to solve, this serendipity problem. How do we get together with our friends? How do we get together with people we don't know yet, or people that we're following in social media but haven't met? So this is kind of a stab at that. I'm going here. Why don't you come join me? And that's the general idea. But I think, you know, we've gone for years where we've added all this technology, and now we're taking a step back and we're trying to figure out, well, we're not spending as much time with each other in each other's presence because we have all the social media stuff that's masking the need to kind of interact face to face. And I think that's starting to flip. In the last year or two, that started to flip, and this is so there are more solutions like this that are coming to market. This is something that I've been churning back in my head for at least a year. And when I heard Ben and Emmanuel were working on this one, I was like, oh, this is gonna be interesting, because I know both of them personally from Miami and pretty smart guys. So
are they going to have a client outside of the iOS?
I anticipate that. I'm not sure how quickly, but I certainly anticipate that.
Because right,
yeah,
now,
so they,
go ahead, Caleb.
They have some web components as well. So if you share it with people, I believe they have web views. And if they don't, I just spoke a little out of turn.
Yeah, because it's not on the site. They may have them in the future. These guys might be doing something eventually with the web, but right now their site just has a picture of a white iPhone with a link to the App Store. Now, I will say this. I will say this, and Sarah actually and I went back and forth in this and agreed last week about it. And so if Ben and Emmanuel are listening, because they're the ones that are on the white iPhone, what I really like to see on any site that he just says available in the App Store, and even though I know you can probably see more in the App Store because I'm on the web, is more information about what the heck this is and what you know, who you guys are, what it does, because it only has 4 bullet points and a link. So the web, I don't expect you to have a web interface built, but I would expect you to say, here's what we collect, here's who we share it with, here's what, you know what I mean? Give me something here on the website. So getwim.com has the link to the App Store. You can search the App Store itself for Whim. But it's,
I think we should talk a little bit about what it does.
Right, that's
I think
how we,
Robert did. So Robert did a good job explaining some of the background. So I know Ben and Emmanuel as well, and they've actually worked out of the Ubongo offices as they've been building this. So we've been able to see a lot of it, and it's very cool. And they've spent a lot of time trying to refine it over the past year. So the basic concept is you're going out to dinner, or you want to hang out for drinks. And it doesn't really make sense to send an email out to, 10 or 15 of your friends and try and get a whole email chain going. That's a really sort of inefficient process. So what they want to do is help make more spontaneous, less planned, less formalized meetups with people happen. So you go in and you say, okay, I'm going to create a Whim, and I can put in thinking of getting drinks later at the W Hotel. And that will go out to people who I'm connected with, or I could choose to send it to people explicitly. And then they can join the Whim, and it's non-binding. It's just like, I'm going to join this Whim. And then there's a conversation wall mm-hmm. for sort of planning more of the details. And then you can put in where you're actually going to go and see a map and do other things. So it's really this interesting way to sort of solve the problem of, you know, it's getting close to ending work and I want to go do something. And maybe some of my friends are free as well and I would really like to get together with them. But I don't know what their schedules are like. So it's more of this push model where I'm pushing out what's available. I'm thinking of doing something, and then my friends can latch on to it if they want to. So it's sort of future broadcasting what you want to go do.
And I'll read real quick. So I went to the page on the iTunes store, and to give Caleb some more background for the listeners, you can't have public and private whims, according to this. And interestingly enough, that came from comments, not from their size stuff, but from comments. It has Google Map integration, so you can tap a place on a map. Is that correct, Caleb?
Yep, that sounds right.
Okay, so you can, according to what I see and what they said, tap a place on a map so where you can go. Now, a question I do have is, do whims expire?
I don't think they expire explicitly right now, except for just they'd be very, very far down in your list of things that you've joined.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like one guy said, hey, I'm going for a hike. Anyone want to join? When would you expire that? Would it be that day, that night? That's cool. If you can also expire and say, hey, this is going to be done in the next 5 or 6 hours, you know, who wants to roll? So,
right.
Either you guys running WIM yet? Well, I guess, Robert, you are.
Yeah, I totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wayne, you on this one?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's funny. And I just love the, you know, we're talking about serendipity and so forth. But, you know, the connection that all three of us have with the WIM team. I met Ben, one of the founders, on In Your Bongo first. Mm-hmm. Then when I went out to California for the summer, Kay let me co-work at his office a couple of times and met Ben and Emmanuel and was able to see the progress that they were making on WIM. And so I like it. I just blogged about it today. Glad to see the app is out. And I think it does solve that problem of saying, you know, I'm going this place, you know, who are my friends, want to meet. And so I think WIM is one of the solutions to that. And it's also, to me, you know, I tweeted about it earlier, somebody called it another geolocation app because it has that location capability. And Caleb may have a better term, or Robert may have a better term to how I try to word what WIM is in this new going trend of these apps, what type of category they go in. But I look at it as a friends availability around location discovery type app. You know, there's, you know, I know we're talking about WIM, but kind of give people the sense of where this is going. That they, you know, there's WIM, there's Holler that Nick is doing, mm-hmm. and then you also have Arrive. So it's like three apps that's kind of doing something similar. But I like the simplicity and the how easy that Ben and Emmanuel make get WIM so people can add WIMs and invite people to WIMs to it as well.
Right. And they so you're lucky, Wayne, because I wasn't allowed to co-work out of Caleb's office. I was only allowed for coffee.
Oh. So
you could have come.
I know. I'm just giving you trouble. I was allowed to have coffee.
but see, I was a Your Bongo beta tester for a long time, so I think they got...
hey, Wayne.
You brought up another pain of sore.
Wayne, I was a Your Bongo beta tester. I just couldn't test it. He knew that was coming. Caleb knew that was coming. I was using it for a long time, just sitting there looking at a screen that said, would your city like to be the loud? No problem. So let me ask, we're within our hour still, so I got to ask a philosophical question because you just brought it up, Wayne, in a way, for all of you. Do you guys think that we are so far ahead of the general populace curve and using these apps? As you see, we connect to each other. We know about the apps. We're reviewing these apps. We're, you know, dealing with them. WIM was new to me. The other ones weren't that WIM was. But do you guys think we're so far ahead of everybody else that, you know, I'm talking a month, a year ahead of where the general populace will use these?
Absolutely. And that's totally fine. these things have adoption curves. And the people... Okay. I like to think of it sort of in when you start wanting to listen to a particular type of music and you start, you're like, oh, I kind of like jazz. I like listening to jazz every once in a while. You don't necessarily know who the artists are. You don't really know what's going on, what the different styles are, but you know you like jazz. And that's where most consumers are with products. They like Facebook. They use Google. and they use a couple other apps, right? Like, they have a few genres, basically, of music they care about. And what we, as geeks and people into apps like this, are, we're much more expert, and we can tell the difference between bebop and, you know, ragtime, and we can tell the difference between all these things. And then we also have particular artists that we follow, and we think they're going to do cool things, and we look at their trajectory of what kind of things they might do in the future. And we sort of are, the things that we get behind become more and more popular over time. So I think that you can't have, you know, people won't sustain three apps like Facebook, right? You wouldn't be on all three. But we're crazy enough to be on three apps to help you figure out where you're going to go tonight. Mm-hmm. And we will determine which one we think is best and easiest to use, and which ones we can actually get some of our more regular friends to join. And those services will continue to grow over time and get bigger. And then some of the other ones might just get acquired. So it's all good.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of heat? Now, all of us, so forget your friends that you guys, you know, that you work with all the time and all that. But from the general people, do you guys get heat sometimes? They're like, I've never heard of that. Or, you know, what the hell does it do? I tossed it when I asked that group chat about, you know, do they use Facebook Places or GoWala? And I said, they're like, what are you guys going to talk about? Also, I said Path and Wim. And then they all went, I've never heard of any of those. And these are all technical people.
Right. I mean, there's clearly a time before people knew about Facebook, right? It was just something for college kids. Yeah. And it evolves. So they all have timelines. They all have, you know, they all take time to develop. And there are people using Instagram today who didn't even know about it 3 or 4 months ago, who probably didn't even know about it yesterday, right? So it just takes time to start to build up these bases of people. And the big issue is, are you solving a problem that a lot of people have? And sometimes you're solving problems that people will have once they have smartphones, or once they are in a city where they have a lot of their friends, or they only have when they are also using lots of other services. And those are the ones you have to be more careful of. Services that are built not for a deep human need, but for a need that results from being using a lot of tech. And so those are the ones you just have to be mindful of. And it doesn't mean they're not useful and valuable, but they may not be billion user type companies.
Yeah, true. What about you, Robert?
Well, I think to add to Caleb's point, I think also, you know, the time it takes for the general populace to start to use these apps or these products, it really gives the development teams time to evolve the product itself. So by the time my mother starts using Path, you know, it'll be so awesome that she's going to love it. You know, and I think it's the same thing with all these products. You know, I knew about Facebook a year before I started using it because I was out of college.
Yeah.
You know, but by the time I got to use it, I thought it was great, and it continues to evolve. So it gives time for the process to take hold, and a lot of times that amount of time is enough to vet the product itself. For developers, I think ultimately developers and tech people in general are influencers to the general populace. So people do ask me, what apps are you using? You know, and then I say, well, here's this Path and here's Wim. And like, Wim is something that I've recommended to 20 people this week because I have a group of non-tech friends that I go out with every weekend. And so for them, and they all have iPhones. So for them, it's perfect. It's perfect for how we actually conduct our Friday nights. It will take it off of text messages, you know, because right now it's all text message and iMessage. So this kind of puts it all in one place.
So you guys look like a giant walking genius bar, you and your 20 friends all with iPhones.
The idea is we'll be using it less.
Correct. Right. That's the idea, is that you'll know where you're going, when you're going.
Yeah. And everybody will be involved in one conversation. Gotcha. As opposed to us being, you know, having, you know, I'm texting this person and they're texting that person, you know, which is what has been happening. So this solution is something I've been looking for eons, and something I've been thinking about in the back of my mind. I think Ben and Emmanuel come pretty close to nailing it. So it's going to be interesting. I expect a number of competing products, and there are competing products already out for that one. But these sort of apps, you know, the general populace, by the time they get it, they're fantastic by that time.
Gotcha.
And so it's good that there's that rollout period.
I'm glad you bring it up, the whole question, and I'm glad we're having this debate, because it's something I've been thinking about recently about the, you know, we're talking about the early adoption curve and about, you know, when, you know, all of us geeks start using it, we love it, there's the hype cycle, and then the flatline happens, then it becomes the real users, then mainstream adoption. A couple of thoughts on that is that I think because of the growing, you know, amount of smartphone users and the growing amount of, you know, internet users and you know, everybody making it easy to find, you know, new applications and startups when they launch, is that, you know, the influence bubble is shrinking in terms of, all right, who are the influencers, who are the key early adopter individuals who you want to attract with your app to start gaining users. Of course, Scoble and other people, are Kevin Rose, people like that, go on that list. And then you got, I think, for startups, and you know, it's then, can you get the mainstream as fast as possible? And then, but still, to get to that level, you still need people like us to say, all right, you know, to do the usability testing across the board, because we are some of the more advanced, the, you know, technical users who have seen tons of apps to say, you may want to do this, you may want to do that. But the goal of the app or the startup is to try to get the many, well, most of the time the goal is to get as many users as possible, get the mainstream as possible. So I think everything is just happening faster, and also everything is in terms of the hype cycle and the early adopter cycle, the influencer bubble is shrinking in terms of the apps. And it's great to see Path to have this kind of 1 year story. And Jason Calacanis wrote an amazing post article, Never Give Up. And so it'd be interesting to see how many other applications will have that same 1 year story, or will other apps to launch will have a faster 3 month, 6 month story where you launch and then everything turned around faster in 6 months or faster because of user adoption.
Yeah, you're right. I saw that article from Calacanis just the other day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was looking at that. So like you're right about Path, how they reinvented themselves and changed a lot. They launched in November of 2010. So just over a year old, they're over 1 million people, they say, that they have now as well on there. And if you guys want to see, they own path.com for anyone that's looking for them. Cause there's, you know, if you type the word path in to a search, good luck. So path.com they actually own, which is amazing in itself. I wonder how they got their hands on that one. That's a good one probably to look up.
And one note I want to drop in is that one thing that I don't think a lot of people understand about these startups. We think about Dave Moran, you know, Apple, Facebook, Path, you know, his path in terms of entrepreneur and other entrepreneurs. We're talking about Josh, we were talking about Gowalla earlier. You know, I don't think a lot of people understand the pressure that these individuals go into. Not from just say, all right, I got an app, I got users, we got customer support, we're going. But the pressure from venture capitalists who invest in these guys, because the venture capitalists are looking at what is Facebook doing, what is their competitors doing. And so how fast can you get mainstream to have that evaluation to where they feel like they invest in you to get their money back in return? So I sometimes want to make sure people understand that the entrepreneurs, these companies, it may be fun, it may be free for us to use, but there's a lot of pressure for the entrepreneurs in terms of being success and to be in the same niche. I remember Dennis Crowley, one of his goals early on, he was like, we just want to be in the same niche. When you say Facebook, you say Twitter, you say Google, you say Apple, we just want to be in the same niche. And that was the pressure. That was his goal. Was also the pressure he knew from the investment he was taking to take Foursquare. And now they are in that same conversation. And so I'm sure Dave and is in that same mindset.
Yeah, to get it out there. No, it was a great conversation for us to have, mainly with, you know, the listeners that follow a lot of the social stuff. But there are a lot of people that come to us to hear, what's the app I should be using? What's coming up next? What apps do you guys recommend? You know, what's crap? What isn't? And that's part of the thing is we're way ahead of the curve. I probably install and uninstall, just like you guys, apps all the time. I have a rule, you know, if I don't touch it in, you know, a weeks or months, I just uninstall it. If it comes back, it comes back. But if not, it wasn't meant to be a useful app to me. You know, it's one of the rules I follow. And then I share it with people when I see them. Years ago, we promoted the heck out of Foursquare. People didn't understand locations and check-ins and everything else. And now it's all you hear, right, when you're doing this stuff. So what's coming up new for everybody so we can stay under our hour? Caleb, what about you? What do you got coming up new? Where can we find you? What, you know, besides Yobongo?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me at CalebIlston.com. I'm going to start blogging a bit more.
No.
So I'm excited about that. Yeah. Share some more thoughts. It's been a while, and lots of stuff has happened, so that's cool.
What about Yobongo? What's going on there? Anything exciting new, or are you guys still rolling out cities? What are you doing?
We're still cranking. We've got some new ideas, some new things, new offshoots. You know, the biggest feedback we get is people want to use it, and they can't use it in their cities yet. And so we're looking for interesting ways to do that, okay. Get it out to more people, and sort of reach the people who are excited about it. And yeah, we're just running Yobongo HQ with the 5-6 startups below us. We got Mingly, mm-hmm. We got Get Will Call, which is awesome for shows. We got Giftiki's down there. So we got a bunch of cool little startups down there. So if anyone's ever in San Francisco, feel free to drop me a line, and you can stop by the Yobongo HQ and meet a bunch of cool startups.
Kevin, Sarah, and myself have both written about Mingly, so at least they're out there already. So if anyone wants to get more on them, it's out there now. They're good to go. And you're Caleb Elston on Twitter.
Yep.
All one thing, no space, no underscore, none of that nonsense. Robert, what about you? Nonsense. Yeah, no.
Well, I'm just kind of focusing on work. I do work for Mutual Mobile now, okay. Full time. iOS dev. So focusing on that, I'm also blogging at robertmurray.me.
Yep.
Just putting together a post on Path, which I should have out tomorrow.
There's going to be about 4 or 5 articles from all of us out on Path and Wim and everything else. It'll be a
hit.
For them, it'll be a boom.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can find me on Twitter at Robert Murray. It's all one thing, Robert Murray.
Awesome. So everybody grab a cup of coffee, because Wayne has to tell us what the heck's going on with him now.
Sorry, being so long-winded. I don't talk to too many people that much nowadays.
No, I'm saying you do a lot. That's why I'm saying get coffee, because Wayne does a lot. So if you all want to keep up with him, this could be a book. No, go ahead, Wayne.
I'm just doing a couple of things. Working on the Accelerator Part 2.
Okay.
That'll be happening starting in February 2012 in Mountain View. So I'm looking at, you know, relocating to Mountain View, California, to work with another group of startups, the New Media Accelerator. Also, speaking of book, I'm working on my first book, that's ebook, on the digital divide, and Robert is one of the guest contributors to the book. So be free and available to download, provide solutions to we can help solve this problem that is affecting, you know, millions of people across the country, especially rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
Also with NewMe, we are launching NewMe communities, tech meetups around diversity, entrepreneurship, and startups across the country. So Worldwide Meetup Day is the 15th, and we're excited about 2012. We're going to change the world.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Wayne, because you talked about this to death, and we talked about it on previous episodes. Where's GoKit?
So GoKit. Let me see. My role is now an advisory role with GoKit, and it's set to launch kind of like our 1 year anniversary around March of 2012.
Are you going to beat South by Southwest? You going to get it out the door before South by Southwest?
I want to say yes.
No promise.
The goal is around that to get it, have it where it's public. We are doing private beta testing right now as we speak. So the platform is built. We're now trying to make it shiny for everybody to use, talking about usability. And then with trial, you know, mentioned before, the location-based app, we'll say that we have, say, pivoted and also closed down our main location-based app, and now just focusing on the platform that we built for the university. So that's where we at with that.
Excellent. They find you as Wayne Sutton absolutely everywhere.
Yes.
And if they can't, they weren't searching right, because it proliferates throughout the web universe. Wayne is now known everywhere, even to CNN. He is personal friends with Soledad, I think, now at this point, after a whole episode like that. Definitely.
She's cool.
Yeah, she was cool. And you had you were eating with Callie the other day too. You had her on Twitter. You were.
Oh, who was that?
That was me. Stealing her roles.
Get me in trouble on that one. Yeah, we were at a conference, brand camp in Detroit, where Hodge Fleming is speaking at a conference together.
Excellent. Do that. Mine is easy to do. I do notes on absolutely everything. Look for actually an article I have coming out. I'm working a lot with a new domain where Dvorak and then moved to a new domain.net, but also an article coming out on the recent closures of like three or four startups that did about a year in, and all these little microsites we were talking about, niche markets, are closing down. A lot of them are using December 31st as their closure date. Things like Refiner and a couple others are all shutting down their services. So I'll be writing up a little something about that. Plus, you need to get your data from some of those if you use their service for any reason at all, for discovery or anything else. Otherwise, what do I got? The studio. So everyone knows that everything we do is part of Spike Studio. The studio is now doing video a lot more, and some studio green screen type work. So if you see that on some of the review videos, things like we did VMware Fusion, we did the new media servers from HP, you'll see the green screen stuff in action. Those are all on YouTube, and you can find those on the YouTube channel for Spike Studio. So, gentlemen, anything else before we go?
No.
I was like, okay, good. I guess you're all deadly sight. You guys hang on 1 second. Everybody else, that was episode 41. I've got a question for them when we're done, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks, which puts us right before Christmas. So you guys hang on, everybody else. Thanks.
We're calling Wayne.
Calling Wayne. Wayne Sutton.
Wayne.
Wayne. Wayne. Wayne Sutton. Where is he?